You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. In Seattle public schools, there's an achievement gap between white students and students of color.
90% of white fourth graders read at grade level, compared to 56% of African-American students.
Seattle Mayor Ed Murray speaking about the issue in September. Well, two state lawmakers from South Seattle say Seattle Public Schools has failed to improve outcomes. Their solution? Split the district up.
Seattle Public Schools is a broken system for many students, for many families, and something has to change.
Democrat Sharon Tomiko Santos. She represents South Seattle in the Washington State House. She and fellow Democrat Eric Pettigrew have introduced a bill that would limit school districts to 35,000 students. And if it passes, that would force Seattle Public Schools to be split into two. Tomiko Santos told Marcy Selman there's a lot of evidence that small districts can improve student outcomes.
The benefit of small classrooms and small schools is personalized learning. It's the relationship of the teacher to the student. It's the relationship of other adults in the school building to the student. In fact, research shows that that same concept of strong relationships focused on specific student success is what helps students succeed.
Sharon Tomiko Santos, you represent a South Seattle district. That's a section of the city of Seattle that has a more diverse student body, economically more disadvantaged, and a lot of the test scores coming out of those schools are not as high as those from other parts of the city. Some critics say that by dividing the district into haves and have-nots based on geography would just further segregate education in our city. How do you respond to that?
I think that the research shows otherwise. First of all, I'm not presupposing where the lines are going to be drawn. But if, in fact, the lines are going to be drawn in accordance with that type of layout of the city, I would point to research that really shows that large school districts are shown to not support socioeconomically disadvantaged students. Secondly, we have research that indicates that when you take a large district and a small district and you compare the academic achievement of similarly situated socioeconomically disadvantaged students, those students in the smaller district perform better. And finally, what's very interesting is that in the same research, it indicates that whereas we might believe that larger districts at least provide economies of scale and economic efficiency. In fact, the research shows that they cost more for poorer academic results for socioeconomically disadvantaged students.
Lastly, Sharon, a lot of our listeners have kids, but many people who are listening might not have kids, either in Seattle Public Schools or any district. Why should a listener who doesn't have kids care about any legislation that affects public schools or public schools in general?
I think everyone who lives in the state of Washington, anyone who lives in the Puget Sound area or in Seattle, should care about the quality of school for every student. I think it's a fallacy for us to think that we should not focus on excellence and equity for every student in our system, because that's how we strengthen our society, that's how we strengthen our economy.
Democrat Sharon Tomiko Santos, who represents South Seattle in the Washington State House. So what does the Seattle School Board think of all this? Sherry Carr is Seattle School Board president. She says the proposal assumes the school district is failing, but Carr told KUOW's Marcy Silman the evidence indicates it is not.
If you look at our students that are in schools where the population is predominantly free and reduced lunch, and that includes our Southeast Seattle schools, a majority of them fall in that category, and you look at the academic outcomes over the last several years, those schools have outperformed the rest of Seattle Public Schools and have outperformed the schools where there is lower free and reduced lunch population.
Sherry, with almost 61,000 students, the Seattle Public Schools is by far the, I think, twice as big as the next biggest district in the state. And I know that the backers of this proposal think a smaller district will be easier to manage. What do you think of that?
Whether you look at test scores, you look at graduation rates, our improvements have outpaced the state, and on our test scores, we are above the state average. So the argument is based on the presumption that we're not succeeding. I'd also say that if you look at school districts across the country, there are 100 school districts that are larger than ours. Many of them have hundreds of thousands of students, and many of them are extremely successful school districts. So size provides an opportunity to be able to leverage your dollars and get more dollars into the classrooms.
The test scores are rising, but there is still an achievement gap in the schools in Seattle between economically disadvantaged and economically stable schools, also racial achievement gap. If this isn't the proposal that will help fix that, what will narrow that gap or make it disappear altogether?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. We know what we need to do to close the achievement gap. The strategies are known, and some of them are in place. What will help that work is to fully fund public education in the state of Washington. We are 46th in the United States on a per-student basis in terms of funding that we receive. We have a McCleary lawsuit that was decided in favor of McCleary that has instructed our state legislature to fund our schools. It's money that we need to be able to put more in those classrooms and fund those strategies that close the achievement gap.
What are specifically some of those strategies?
Well, the multi-tiered systems of supports, and I know that's edge-speak. This is around having a very structured way to identify students that are at risk and having a tiered approach to intervention to provide those students the supports that they need to be successful in the classroom, to stay in school, and to graduate ready for college, career, and life. That in combination with formative assessments that help inform instruction in the classroom, those two items are very powerful in terms of closing the achievement gap. There are many strategies. Those are the first two that come to mind, and they do cost money.
Sherry, will either you or any of the other directors go to Olympia to actively lobby against this bill?
Yes, ma'am. That will happen beginning as early as this week.
Sherry Carr, president of the Seattle School Board, speaking to Marcy Silman. A new legislative proposal would limit school districts to 35,000 students, and the effect of that would be to split the Seattle district into two. This is The Record on KUOW.